If I suggest to you tonight that we are in a spiritual battle, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? If you've heard many sermons or many talks about biblical principles, then you've probably heard several sermons about warfare or about battles in general, and for good reason. There are many, many examples in the Bible of battles and wars and things like that. So whenever I ask you, what do you think of when I say that we are in a spiritual warfare? Then maybe you're thinking about Joshua and how Joshua and the Israelites invaded Canaan and wiped out the land. Or maybe you're thinking about Saul and his battles with the Philistines. Or maybe David and his battles with the Philistines, or David and Goliath, or how David had to fight his own son Absalom. Or maybe you're thinking about Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6 with his fiery chariots all around him and how he prayed to God that the young man could see them. Or maybe you're waiting for another sermon on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Or maybe you're thinking about Jesus conquering death and conquering Satan in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to talk about any of those tonight. But what I am going to talk about is a spiritual battle that we are constantly engaged in. 100% of the time, this battle, the last thing that's going to pop up on this screen, is something that we battle with constantly, 100% of the time. And it's so obvious that we may not even realize it's a war. So what is it? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Got a little bit of a lengthier reading for our very first reading. Romans chapter 7, we'll start in verse 14. I encourage you to have your Bibles out. We'll be flipping to several passages tonight. I'd encourage you to stay with me here. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do the thing that I hate, I agree with the law. That is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. This war that we constantly fight 100% of the time that Paul is describing here is best summed up by Paul in verses 22 and 23. Let's read those again. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. The war that we fight constantly is a war against ourselves. And more specifically, we're talking about a war in the mind. A war in the mind. This is a battle like no other, because we can't get away from our mind. We lay down with it. We get up with it. We go to work with it. We go to school with it. We can never get away from it. You can see me smiling sometime, and you have absolutely no idea that there's gunfire going off in my head. There was gunfire going off in Paul's head. This is an apostle of Christ, and he's describing this exact same struggle. So I know that each and every one of us has to deal with this same war. And since we all deal with this same war, I want to talk about our minds tonight and a couple of things about it. And so since we're talking about our minds, something that I like to do in my sermons is tell you what the answer is right off. So Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, if you want to flip over there. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, set your mind on things above and not on all that's here below, or not on the things of the earth. So I could end the sermon right there and you could walk out of here saying, oh, I'm supposed to set my mind on things above and not on the things of the world. But I was having a conversation with a non-believer, and he raised this point to me. He said, what about my family? What about food? What about the basic necessities of life? Those are things in the world, so I'm not supposed to think about those and only on things that are above. And that got me wondering. I think what Paul is talking about here is something that John tells us. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. The question is, what are the things of the world that we're not supposed to focus on? And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, a verse that most of us probably know really well, it says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." The things that I believe Paul was talking about, the things that we are not supposed to focus on in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Not our family, not food, not the basic necessities of life. So God, through John, tells us these are the things of the world. And we're supposed to set our mind on things above, not on the things of the world. And so I want to talk about these three things tonight. The very first thing is our minds on the flesh. So first and foremost, when we talk about the flesh, our mind inevitably immediately leads to sexual sin. And that is certainly a massive portion of what the sins of the flesh, if our mind is on the flesh, is. And let's look at Matthew 5:28. We're talking about our mind tonight. And so the Bible is very clear on what God's position on the acts of sexual sin are. But what about the thoughts of sexual sin? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. Jesus says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus says that if a person looks at another person with lustful intent, they've already committed adultery with them in their heart. In other words, those thoughts are sinful. And so I think that that's about all that needs to be said on that. Sexual sins and sins of that nature, those are pretty straightforward. But something that we don't think about is that other sins of the flesh, there are other ones other than just the sexual sins. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And if you know about Galatians chapter 5, you know that the fruit of the Spirit is coming up. But right before that, Paul gives us a list of the works of the flesh. And you might be surprised at some of the things that are in. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So in that list, we have things like gossip, like jealousy, like drug abuse, like thinking ill thoughts about somebody else. So how often and how easy it is for us to be jealous of something that somebody else has? How easy is it for us to think mean thoughts about somebody that we would never actually say to them? Paul says those are the works of the flesh. And we're not to set our minds on the things of the earth. And John tells us that the works of the flesh are of the earth. So the next thing I want to talk about is our mind through our eyes. And in a society where it seems like everything is focused on pleasure and indulgences, a big one that sticks out to me personally is our eyes. We have TV shows, we have movies, and it seems like we can't escape the nudity and the provocative scenes in these TV shows and the movies that we watch. It's as if tickets don't sell unless they have those scenes in there, and so we can't go to the movie house and find a good movie anymore. And I say anymore, I'm a young guy, I don't know. But anyway, it's a big problem for us. How do we keep our minds pure? And I just want to remind you, we were just reading in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, the exact same thing can be said through our eyes. If we look at somebody else with lustful intent in our heart, then we have already committed adultery with them. And that's a sin. We shouldn't be thinking thoughts like that. But again, just like the works of the flesh, it's not just sexual sin. Anything that we look at with ill intent is wrong. And that's why we have to be so careful of what we're watching and what we're letting get into our minds. There is a direct correlation between what we choose to watch and then what we think about what we're watching. Look over at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 34. And in this context here, it may not be directly speaking about what we're talking about, but I think it definitely applies. Luke chapter 11 and verse 34. It says, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness." And so applying that to what we're talking about tonight, if we're watching stuff, if we're looking at things that we shouldn't be watching, we're not going to be the person that we need to be. If we're watching things that we shouldn't, we're going to be a person that we shouldn't. I really think that's what God is trying to get across here. I know I'm going kind of fast, but I got a lot of stuff and I'm trying to get through it all here. The next thing is mind with pride. And pride is a big, big issue. It's something that almost all of us battle with. Almost all of us. And with pride, maybe we have pride because we think things like, well, I can fix a car better than that person. Or I have more degrees than this person. But those are just people of the world, right? We don't have thoughts like that. I say even among God's people, as Christians, I've heard Christians myself, they say, oh, I'm a Christian and I can't be prideful. But what about thoughts such as this? I have more Bible knowledge than that person. Or, well, my dad was an elder, so I can't be wrong. Or I'm a preacher, so I can't be wrong. Or one of my personal favorites, and I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, absolutely. Well, they don't understand Scripture the way that I understand it, so they must be wrong. How easy it is for all of us to have thoughts like that. Little thoughts like that are wrong. We need to remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, right after he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but transform by the renewing of your mind." He says this, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." And why would that be such a big thing? Why should we not think of ourselves highly than we should? Well, just think about studying with another person. If I'm having a Bible study with somebody, and the whole time in the back of my head, I'm thinking, this guy is so wrong. I have so much more Bible knowledge than he is. Everything he's been saying is wrong. And I've been coming at him with Scripture because I know more Bible verses, and I'm getting all this stuff right. This guy is wrong. Are we glorifying God? Isn't that the whole purpose of Bible study, is to glorify God? And I'm giving this lesson because I need to hear this. If we're having a Bible study with somebody and the whole time we're thinking, I know so much more Scripture than this guy does, the only person we're trying to glorify is ourselves. We're trying to be right. We need to be trying to glorify God. Amen. Look over at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30. Let's look at verse 12. Proverbs 30, verse 12. "There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth." Going back to this Bible study analogy here, and I say analogy, but I've dealt with this. If I am clean and pure in my own eyes, then I'm filthy. I don't see my own filth. In our Bible studies, if we're thinking, oh, here's this verse and this verse and this verse because you're wrong, this should be the point of Bible study, is to glorify God, but not with all this pride involved. It should be, I have been full of filth in my life. And because God is so gracious and merciful and wonderful to me, I can be clean. Let me show you. And by that, we glorify God and not ourselves. That should be the goal. That should be the goal of Bible study. And so these three things are the things that are in the world. These three things are what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, are waging war against our minds. And so whenever these thoughts attack us, well, what do we do? Well, it seems kind of obvious, doesn't it? Well, we fight back. Yeah. But if you know anything about wars and history, how it works, just because you fight back doesn't mean you're going to win. If you fight back, you can still lose. Take the Civil War for an example. The Union, for 2 years in the Civil War, lost almost every single battle of that war against the Confederacy. But then what happened? Well, the Battle of Gettysburg happened. And they called that the turning point of the war. And after that, they started winning battles and winning more battles, and they won the war. I'm going to suggest that our spiritual war in our minds is exactly the same way. Maybe we've been losing battle after battle after battle for years. There's got to be a turning point. Brothers and sisters, we need a turning point in this war in our lives. Look over at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You can probably quote the verse without even going over there, but Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We need to change. But notice he doesn't say, change what you do and then your mind will follow. Change doesn't happen from the outside in. You can wear a new outfit, but that doesn't make you a new person. You can buy a new car, and that doesn't make you a better driver. You can do a lot of good things, but if your mind isn't changed, you're going to have the same experience. Change has to start from the inside, and then it will come on the outside. Look at Mark chapter 7. Jesus taught this. Mark chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 18 starting. Mark chapter 7, verse 18. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." But notice, this is the part that I want to focus on, starting in verse 20. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." We got to change our minds. We have to change our minds. It's time for a turning point in our war. Let's start changing our minds. And I have a couple of quick ways of how we can start this turning point. And we can start winning battles and we can win this war. The first thing is be careful what you intake. And I'm thinking of Psalm 101, verse 3, where it says, "I will set nothing worthless or useless before my eyes." And that's a great thing to say. I will set nothing useless before my eyes, but it goes much more than just your eyes. That's why I initially had this as be careful what you watch. But it's much more than your eyes. We have to be careful of the movies that we watch, the TV shows, the music that we listen to, the books that we read, the magazines that we're looking at. We need to change that. It'll change our minds because what we look at has a direct correlation with how we feel about it. The next thing is that we need to pray constantly. I can't emphasize this enough. PJ actually talked this morning how Jesus gave us an example of a good way to battle temptation is to pray. And how often do we get tempted a day? I would say that we need to pray at least that much. Whatever the number is of how many times we're tempted per day, we need to pray at least that much. And I'm thinking of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. If you want to turn over there, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. This is another passage that we're probably familiar with. But it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and it will guard your minds in Christ Jesus." If we pray to God, we're not alone. We're trying to change our minds here. We can't do it on our own. So we have to pray to God. He's the only person that we can lean on. He's the only one that can help us. It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8, he tells us exactly what we need to think about. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's what we need to keep our minds on. The next thing is that we can spend time in the Word daily. And I'm thinking of Psalm 119 and verse 9. How shall the young secure their hearts? By guarding it according to your word, is what that says. And it's not just for the young either. How shall we guard our hearts? How shall we preserve our hearts? How can we keep our minds pure? By guarding it and keeping it according to your words. And then if you look at verse 11 of Psalm 119, it says, your words I have hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. We got to get the word in us. We should spend time in it daily. Daily. This next one, accountability partners. And I put this one in special because in the past week, a good friend of mine and I, we really opened up to each other. And we talked about sins that we've both committed. We talked about struggles that we both have. And we struggle with almost the exact same thing. And it felt so good to know that I was not the only one. Because a lot of times we all feel like Elijah, don't we? I'm the only one left. And there's nobody who's dealing with the same things that I'm dealing with. But look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, resist him. Talking about the devil. Stand firm in the faith, knowing that the same suffering with which you are suffering is being experienced by all the brethren in the world. We're not alone in this. First and foremost, we need to lean on God. But we're supposed to help each other. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ are for. Find somebody who you can confide in. Find someone who can confide in you. Help each other out. Because we're all going for the same goal, right? The next thing, this has several different aspects. Being genuine. Not acting. This has several aspects. First and foremost, we need to be genuine with God. We need to pray constantly. But when we're praying to God, why would we hold anything back? The more that I pray in my personal life, the more genuine I find myself being and the more moved I am that I can talk to the God of the universe. I can tell him anything. Anything at all. We talked about accountability partners. You want to talk about a partner. You won't find a better one. But we also need to be genuine with other people. Now that doesn't mean that we can be impolite toward one another. But whenever our pride gets in the way of us actually being who we are or putting on an act in front of each other, is that really what God wants us to do? In our minds, whenever we have a mean thought about somebody else, We would never actually tell them that. We should still be genuine. Not impolite, but we should be genuine. And another thing that's really important is we should be genuine with ourselves. If we're struggling with our mind on the flesh, if we're struggling with our mind because of what we're looking at through our eyes, if we're struggling because our mind is full of our pride, then we're not going to acknowledge all the sins that we have. And we're not going to do anything about it. And we're not going to lean on our Father who can help us. We need to be genuine with ourselves. If we have a problem, we need to do everything in our might to take care of that. And I'm not giving the invitation tonight, but I couldn't let this go unsaid. James chapter 4 and verse 8. This is another verse that a lot of you probably know by heart. But James chapter 4 and verse 8. There's a call to action. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. we're constantly in this war in our mind, but we don't have to go about it alone. And if we go to our Father in heaven, and if we let him know that we are trying our hardest, he's gonna get closer to us. If we try to get closer to him, he's going to get closer to us. And the call to action is purify your hearts. Purify your hearts. The lesson is yours.